Well, it's good to be here again with you. And thank the brothers inviting me to give me a little time to talk to you again. Because of the fellowship from yesterday, and particularly Brother Ron on the matter of the overcomers, really, right? The seed of the woman and so on. There's a real burden there. So I have this feeling to say something to you about a young person being a young, overcoming person. And, of course, the verse that I would use for this, as you may guess, is in 1 John. So you have in 1 John, chapter 2, I'll just read it to you, verse 14, the second half. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. But I have to continue. I think the apostle's thought is not finished yet in that verse. What does all this mean to overcome the evil one? Okay, verse 15. Do not love the world and the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the vainglory of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and its lusts, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So he somewhat concluded his admonition to the young the young men category, so to speak, among the saints there. Then he continued with the young children and so on. Well, I like to just use this verse 14 as a jump-off point for some fellowship this morning. And again, the underlying burden for you all is that you would be a young overcomer today. Just by saying that, I am inferring strongly that this is possible. That it's possible for young people like you at your age, in college, or in the last part of your high school, to be overcomers, to live in an overcoming way. I want to shatter any kind of unbelief or concept that somehow it's not possible, that an overcomer is some old person who's been through so many things and was victorious over them, and so they became some kind of a mature Christian, and so they overcome me. I'm just a nobody, a kid, a college kid. I don't even know whether I can be an overcomer. I like to shatter that. What if the Lord Jesus comes now? Let's say the Lord comes right now. Would you be an overcomer? You better be. Am I right? There's no waiting until you are 60 years old. You say, I'm 20 years old. There are many 20-year-old overcomers. Maybe their life is not entirely mature. Maybe so. But I will tell you, in the Bible, there's one sure way to be an overcomer regardless of age, and that is to be a martyr. Many martyrs died without full maturity maybe in life. But the way they die for the Lord and his name makes them an overcomer instantly. Now, I'm not here to suggest you do anything crazy to ensure that you will be such instant overcomers. I'm not here to do that. But I'm making a point that it is possible. What I'm trying to say is that it is possible for Christians, brothers and sisters your age, to live an overcoming life. It is possible. Right now, while you're in college, I want to build that up. Build up this belief, this faith. All right, anyway, here, John is writing to three groups of people, the fathers, then the young men. The young men here could be understood as those who are young in age, physical age, and also those who are young in spiritual age. But mind you, that when this word young is used, you must not equate this word to juvenile. There's a difference. Don't equate this to childishness, all right? If you read the footnote, this young means a level of maturity, a certain level of maturity and a certain level of strength, spiritual strength, to constitute a young man who is a believer. Then he would speak to young children. The young children are those who are newborn believers. You know, you can be 60-year-old, but you just got saved. You are spiritually a young child. And these are what I would call juvenile, right? To do that analogy. But young men here hardly refers to some kind of a adolescent, crazy and not grown up, totally immature person. No, young men here refers to someone that is in the prime of their age. They have strength in them. David was the youngest among the brothers. The Bible says so. And after a process, Samuel found the youngest. How young was he? I don't know. But in this case, he was not too young to be selected and anointed to be king of Israel. Today, this society that we're in suppresses growth. It wants to keep you in a perpetually juvenile state so they can sell more computer games, you know. Do you know today one of the biggest industry, billion-dollar industry, is computer games? And that is one way that will keep you in a perpetual condition of immaturity, of no growth. I like to say that we don't stand with that. We don't stand with that. I like to say in the Lord's recovery, all of you at your age can be grown up. Not fully mature, I say again. You cannot be Brother Ron Kangas here. That's not what I'm saying. But you can be at your age and be quite grown in the Lord. If you set that as your sight, if you have that kind of a view, if you have that kind of a heart in you. Now, in history, we have seen actually plenty of young men in past ages, in their teens, 20s or so, already becoming very, very strong Christians. In fact, used by the Lord in a great way. We see this in the Bible. Firstly, I don't need to go through the Bible with you, the Old Testament and the New Testament, full of this kind of young persons. In those days, they don't have the medicine we have today, the kind of, I'm not talking about Methuselah, you know, I'm talking about, you know, in a great part of human history. Today, people live to 90, you know, pretty common, more and more. So in those days, because their lifespan is not that long, they have to grow up in a hurry. At a very young age, they have to bear tremendous responsibility in a household, for example, even in a nation. Now, I'm not here to exalt Alexander the Great, okay? Forget about that. He is terrible. But, you know, Alexander conquered all the world when he was in his 20s, according to history. My point, I have a point here, brothers and sisters, and I quote the Apostle Paul. Do not despise your youth. I like the young people in the Lord's recovery to rise up and say, no, we will not live in a perpetual condition of no growth, of childishness, and even babyishness. No, I don't agree with that. That even when you go to college, talking to people, they just like their thinking, their behavior is all so childish. No. I agree, I suggest that in the recovery we have a different group of young people, different from the world, in their thinking, in the very way they even view themselves. If you look at yourself as just a kid, just a nothing, you will act that way. You will act that way. But if you, even at your age, realize that the recovery needs you. The church life needs you. Your family needs you. Your country needs you. When I say country, I mean the kingdom of God needs you. You will live differently. You will live differently. Look, today at 18 you can vote, am I right? 16, you can drive a car. I don't know if that's good or bad, but anyway, that means responsibility, all right? And then at the same time when you can vote, you can enlist to be in the army, in the military of this country. So today out in Afghanistan or places like that, in the front lines, in the ditches, our kids, quote-quote, 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 20-year-old. And if you go to West Point, you come out as a second lieutenant. You're only 22. 22, making life and death decisions for a whole platoon of men. They may have an older sergeant there, unenlisted, but you're the top officer. 22 years old, making battle decisions of life and death. Now, you tell me that that is too young. they grow up awfully quickly in that battle zone, these young men and women. Today, this country of God, this nation of the triune God, this kingdom, is at war, like Israel. It's in constant state of war. And so we need an army, a standing army, soldiers in this army to fight this spiritual warfare against God's enemy. And do not think that this warfare should be left to the quote-unquote older saints, middle age and above. No, I would like to tell you, you need to be in that army. Young brothers and sisters, you should be enlisted. You should be recruited. Or God has recruited you to be in that army today. Don't despise your youth. Young men, I have written to you. He, the old apostle, spent the most time talking to this group of people because they are the ones who should be bearing the burden of the church. You won't be an elder, probably, today, and that's not what I mean. But I am talking about the fact that you count in the warfare today, in the church life, the kingdom of God. And I say this very, very seriously. Now, I can only look at my own history, my own testimony. Other brothers can share theirs. That as a humble testimony, that can be so. I was saved at 11 years old. I was really a kid. Seventh grade, junior high. Baptized. Then I loved the Lord, but I got distracted in my junior high years and the early days of my high school years, kind of bumming around. Drop out of the church life. Not good. Not something I would suggest, but that happened to me. But due to the prayers of dear saints in the church, the Lord visited me and others like my age towards my junior year in high school. And there was a coming of the Spirit. You know, I talk about the coming of the Spirit. The Spirit was brooding in this deep, you know, this darkness and deep. And brought life and generated life, starting in my junior year in high school. It was mainly through one retreat, a week-long retreat, like you have in the summer training or summer school of truth, away in some place. I didn't even finish that retreat. I went there only for half of that time. But the Lord awakened me and begin a work of revival. Well, I won't get into the details. Point is this, that from that point until my senior year, within that about 1 year period and a half of time, I was fully and entirely captured by the Lord Jesus. To the point that I consecrated my life to serve him with full time, I was very clear in my senior year that is my destiny and my calling. I have nary an idea of how that is going to work out, what I have to go through to get there. I just knew that must be. From that point, I presented my all to the Lord to live to him. And I began to study the truth, get into the Bible, go to all the meetings, you know what I mean, pray, all these things. But I have not seen yet the Lord's recovery until After my senior year, I came to this country for college, for university. And in that first year that I came here, I was privileged to be invited to a young people's winter conference in Christmas time, conducted by Brother Lee. That conference captured me not only for Christ, but for the church. A year later, a year and 2 months later, I moved into the church life, dove in head first to the Lord's recovery until today. Now, I want to tell you that in those years, from my junior, senior years in high school, all the way through college, let's say, of course, a part of my college years was spent in the church life, you know, in LA, where I came into. But in those interval years there of straddling high school and college, I'd like to tell you one thing that I built up, and that is reading the Word and the ministry. To this day, I still credit a lot of the foundation that is built in me on reading. Not listening to messages. That's not what I said. I said reading. Reading. I became a ferocious, avid reader of the ministry, and in those days, I mainly read in Chinese, because there was hardly any English books put out by Brother Lee. I cannot say that I read all of Watchman Nee, but I read most of it. I did not understand everything. I did not, you know, the Lord has not opened that entirely to me, but I can tell you, I read what I could, and I benefited enormously. I read, eventually, Brother Lee's messages given in the 60s in Chinese in a little magazine called the Ministry of the Word, the Ministry of the Word in Chinese. And those were messages given by Brother Lee whenever he visited Taiwan back in the 60s. Quite current, quite current. And today, I can even tell you a few messages that I remember until now. Let me give you one example. And that is a message he gave to co-workers. These are messages to co-workers on the last chapter of Daniel, you know, where it says, those who have knowledge, who know their God, would show strength and take action, right? That chapter. And later on, towards the end of that chapter, it talks about many will be made white, will be purified and made white. That was one particular message he gave to the co-workers, who at that time was undergoing a turmoil in Taiwan, a sort of a rebellion in Taiwan, as his warning and his perfecting to the co-workers, that there will be trials in the last days. Of course, Daniel prophesied that. And many will be cleansed and made white to be approved. I can never forget that message until today. The title of that message is Purified and Made White. In Chinese, very poetic. Purified and Made White. And then the next line is, being strong to do exploits. I think in the KJV, take action, it says do exploits, something like that. That's what it came from. Being purified and made white, being strong and do exploits. That was his word. I tell you, that message just grabbed me and was burned into me. I don't know why. I don't know why. So at that very young age, how old was I? I was 17. I don't even know what is a coworker, you know what I mean? But that message was seared into my being. That I said, Lord, I would like to be such. I'm going to be such. That whatever trials and tribulation you will put me through, Lord, make me, purify me and make me white. Make me clean. Make me a pure-hearted person on the one hand. And I said, Lord, make me strong and make me one who do exploits for you. I hardly know what I was praying. But do you see what I mean? The living word, the spirit-breathed word, even through this ministry, would what? Would come. Would come. So the spirit came, and then the word came, and God spoke. And then there was light, right? And by these three acts, I will tell you, my life begin to be separated. A separation begin in my life at that young age. At that young age. I cannot be the same as my classmates or schoolmates in school, whatever. You know, those were 60s. Those were the hippie days. Those were the counterculture days. Those were the days of sexual revolution. You don't even know what that is. I mean those, that era. Vietnam. It was a tumultuous decade. And I was here. And in fact, when I came to the church, it was the height of the Vietnam War. They had the highest number of draft, you know, draft. There was a draft system. Things were just crazy, that whole landscape. And the things going on campus, and it was wild, wild. But brothers and sisters, this word kept me. I don't mean just that message. I mean all the things I read. Watchman Nee, Witness Lee, whatever I could get my hands on. Today, standing here, I can still testify before the Lord that that prayer is still being answered. My prayer to the Lord is still being answered. And I can testify, therefore, to all of you, to his great faithfulness. That even if you're 17 or 18 with making such a Nazarite vow to him, you may forget, he will remember. And he will be true to his own word. It's not even just because of you. He just infused faith by his word into you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. That prayer of mine is just a response of my spirit to the infused faith. And that prayer the Lord received and still answered today. Young brothers and sisters, I'd like to see you all to be like that. And more. That's so many 40-some years ago. The Lord has gone on. The need is that much greater. The time to the consummation of the age is that much nearer. The battle is that much more fierce today. We do not need a lesser generation. We need a more generation. Than the 60s. Some of your parents, my age, came in at that time and experienced that move of the Spirit, which we can never forget. It's memorable. I study that history and fully believe that was a time of a sound and bona fide and genuine revival in Eldon Hall. But that's 40-some years ago. Today, we are going on. We're not looking back. We need you And I'm not even here talking to those who have gone through the full-time training, who are so-called young adults and so on. I'm talking to college age, and I know who I'm talking to. That your age, right now, is the time for you to be such young men. The young men mentioned here in 1 John. Not later. Not when you go to the full-time training. Let the full-time training not be a destiny. Let the full-time training be the next stepping stone for you. Start now. Start now. While you're in college is the time for you to be in your full-time training. Here it says, young men, I write to you, because you are strong. What time is it? Oh my goodness. All right. Are you okay? You are strong. I didn't say this. The apostle, the Bible says this, and you don't contradict it. Don't say, I am weak. Well, if you say it the way Paul said it. When I'm weak, I'm strong. So say, I am strong. Say it by faith. Declare it with boldness. I did that. And that is not a matter of pride. That is a matter of believing in God. I am strong. I hate to see wimpy, pushover young brothers and sisters because it's unnecessary. Again, I say, you're not that mature. I acknowledge that. That's fine. You have not really accumulated that much spiritual experience. That is fine. But that should not stop you from being strong in the Lord. Be empowered in the Lord and in the might of his strength. I mean, Paul exhausted his vocabulary using words like might, like strength, like power. I mean, what more can he say to convince you that dynamo, the triune God dynamo, has been installed in you, in your spirit? You have to be strong to apprehend with all the saints. And Christ should make home in you also by this power. Everything spiritual that happens to us spiritually in Christ has to do with this power, this divine power, which is in us and in you. 17 years old, the same power that is in me is in you. You need to draw from it. You need to turn on the switch. You need to access it and not let that thing sit there humming in idle. Apply the power. That's the way to be strong. And here I would like to add a very important word I feel for all of you, a burden I have this morning. I ask you, how do you turn on that power? The power is in you. It's installed. How do you flip that switch? What do you say? How do you turn it on? That power that will cause you to overcome so many things, that will cause you to transcend everything, that will cause you to fly, that will cause you to do so many things for the Lord, to preach the gospel, to not be ashamed of his name, to give up the world, to decide to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. How do you turn on that switch? Well, in the past, we say exercise your spirit. And it's true. But this morning, I wanted to be a lot more precise than that. So you have that verse in 2 Timothy. God has not given us a spirit That's the spirit we're talking about. Of what? Cowardice. You know, my testimony of Abraham Chang, you know, training me. Exercise your spirit. I think one time he even slapped me. I mean, not my face, but. Minoru Chen, exercise your spirit. It's like he was mad, like God was mad. You have it in you. You won't use it. What a shame. What a dishonor to me. Exercise your spirit. Okay, here it says, you don't have a spirit of cowardice. Reject that. Even sisters, reject that. You don't have a chicken spirit. You don't have a timid spirit. Rather, the spirit you have is a spirit of what? Number one, power. And then what? Love and sober-mindedness. Okay, I want to concentrate on the first one, power. What does power imply? What does it mean? I tell you, again, you go and read the footnote. That power refers to the will, to the exercise of your will. So here this morning, I want to give you a word. How do you be strong? Be empowered in the grace. You know, all these verses that Ron gave us. Be empowered, be strong. How do you be strong? Young men, you are strong. How do you fulfill that? This morning, I like to tell you, it has everything to do with your will. You say, no, I'm not here to exercise my will. That's human effort. That's not the Lord. It won't last. Well, I know what you're talking about. I read more than you, so don't challenge me. I know all of that. I'm not talking about using your natural man, natural strength to strive to do this. I hardly. What I'm talking about is using your God-created faculty in your soul, call your human will, which is made for you to choose and make decisions in line with God. That's what it's made for, that faculty. That's the use. That's the function. So exercise that will of yours. To what? To ignite your spirit. To stir up your spirit. To bring your spirit into flame. Fan it into flame. To put it into function. Your will. I will tell you today, the enemy's work is not just on the minds of the young people, but on the will of the young people. To weaken it. To make it powerless, to put it out of order, to make it non-functioning. You have a will to will certain thing, to decide certain thing that agrees with God and His will. But He comes along to just what? Weaken it. To make it flat. And so today, we have a bunch of people on the campus, young people, following that Pied Piper, who is the devil, willless, and just going along with the tide of the age. They cannot stand up. They have no backbone. They subjugate themselves to peer pressure. What everyone is doing, I will do. Where is the will? Young people, you have a will. And it's up to you to use that will for the Lord. Don't have a stubborn will towards the Lord. But build up a strong and firm will for the Lord. I will tell you, without the exercise of your will, you cannot be strong. The word here is active passive. Be strong. It's an imperative. You have no choice. Be strong. And if there's no way for you to be strong, How on earth would the apostle give such an order or command? There must be a way. And there is a way. Timothy, you be strong. Don't despise your youth. Don't be weak. Don't be a wimp. Don't be a wimp. The young men today, there's so many are becoming effeminate. Do you understand that word? It's in the Bible. Effeminate, that means like a female. Where is the will? Where is the will? And I don't mean a bad will. I mean a strong will for the Lord. Lord, I love you and I choose you. And I will follow you. You say, what if I fail? Leave that to him. What if I got stumbled? Leave that to him. You vow. And you keep your vow. And a lot of times, you know how vows are kept? They're not kept by emotions. Because emotions fluctuate. You use your will to keep a vow. You get married. If you have your marriage just based on emotions, I'm really scared for your marriage. When you get married, you didn't just fall in love with a person, you make a decision to live the rest of your life with that person, didn't you? So you stick to that will, thick or thin. I don't mean there's no room for emotion, I don't mean that. But you exercise your will. Your will, young people. Don't let the devil sap your will. You've got a will made by God, and that will is being renewed by the Spirit. You use that renewed will to stand against the enemy and stand for the Lord. How about this? I will be in the church life. How about this? I will follow the Lord. There's a song we used to sing, I have decided to walk in spirit. A decision. And don't apologize for it. You know, you owe nobody any apology when you exercise your will to be one with the Lord. And when you trigger that power, that dynamo in your spirit, that power will take over and help you and empower you and cause you to do things that you cannot do. To overcome sin, to overcome the world, to overcome so many things which you in yourself cannot do, but by your aligning your will with God, that power is released. And now you can. Now you are being empowered. The key is the human will. Then, I have to end with the last thing. The Word of God abides in you. That's a characteristic of a young person. That's why I gave my testimony. Brothers and sisters, I heard that the brothers have promoted the reading of Genesis. Am I right? In 1 year? You know, something like in 1 year? I like to say a strong amen to that. I hope you will read more than that. I did, and I went to school, and I studied architecture, which is, you know, takes a lot of time. You know what? Today it's not a matter that you don't have time. You waste it on do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. How many hours do-do-do-do-do? If those hours, half of those hours are redeemed to read the life studies. I tell you, you will be that young man of this age. You just don't wish you are a young man, an overcomer. You need to aspire, you need to pray, but you don't wish. You take steps, and one of the very important steps besides exercising your will, to exercise your spirit, to turn on that power, is to get yourself solidly grounded in the ministry of this word. That means to read the Bible. You need the Bible, that rock, to build your house on so it's not on sand. So when the wind comes, the rain falls, the flood rises, that house can withstand because it's built on the Word. And today, you should read those life studies, Genesis. It will take us 3 trainings to finish Genesis, crystallization study. How good it is, in 1 year, you'll finish those 120 messages. And read it with your companion. Sometimes it's hard to do it by yourself. Do it in small groups, in your campus, with your companions. Challenge each other. Remind each other. 2 is better than 1, or whatever it says. Huh? Threefold cord is not easily broken. Okay, just exercise this companionship wherever you are to read the Word of God. And you know what? Brother Lee told us, and I love this, and I'd like to tell you this. He said, you want to finish the life studies? Don't enjoy it. Endure it. I love it. I love that. If you, today I don't feel, it's not so enjoyable, it's kind of dry. No. Even when it's dry, exercise your will and finish the reading. One day, you don't know, that dry message will come and save the day. And this happened to me I don't know how many times. Don't even depend a dry, a not dry, I feel good, I don't feel good, I have a good day, I have a bad day. Do you eat depend on how good your day is? I think some people do. That's why they're unhealthy. I feel good. Whoa, they just ate everything. Oh, today I feel lousy. I don't eat a thing. That's how you get unhealthy. The healthy people, good day, bad day, breakfast, lunch, dinner. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. They're healthy. Don't, I tell you, the enemy work is to use your emotions to sway you, to just flip you all over the place. No. Here's another way to exercise your will. To stand against that. I'll just stay the course. I will finish these life studies. My goodness, how good it is when you go to the full-time training. You're a generation of young people who have read an amount of life studies, not to mention the recovery version, New Testament with all the notes and the Bible. My goodness, when you go to the full-time training, you'll be better than the present group. How about that for a challenge? Don't wait until the full-time training and I will get my remedial courses. Because I flunk in all the 4 years and I'm going to do remedial work in Anaheim. You are behind by 4 years. You can start now. You don't drag yourself to the full-time training. You propel yourself with jet fuel to go into the full-time training. It's possible. Amen. Amen? Amen? And of course, the last thing is you overcome the evil one, and mainly in overcoming the world. You know, you take the love out of the world, it's the Word. I always like that. Are you with me? W-O-R-L-D, take away the L. The L means love. The absence of the love of the world is the Word, right? You like that? Or conversely, the Word is the absence of the love of the world. Do not love the world and the lust, the eye of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. How do you do that? You just don't stand there and not love the world. You fill yourself with something else that will replace the world. And that is not computer games. That is not the internet. That is not movies. That is not all these things. That is the Word of God. Fill yourself with the Word of God. Fill yourself up at this age with the ministry of the world, and the world will be replaced, displaced, rather. Amen?
Amen.
Young man,
Amen.
You are strong.
Amen.
The Word of God abides in you,
Amen.
And you have overcome the evil one.
Amen.
The Lord bless all of you. Amen.
Amen.